Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one talk station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. A very lovely morning to you once again. Thank you. Thank you for rejoining us on Dailies today. This is the second part. I'm Sharif Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
You can watch us on Facebook and on YouTube, Nigeria Info 99.3 on Facebook and on YouTube. Nigeria Info 99.3. We're going to start with the Punches paper. On page 11, we have this story here that reads, Hausa community seeks reversal of Okada ban, promises Sanwo-Olu massive vote.
Yes, this headline captured the, you know, I was trying to review the situation in my head yesterday, and this headline captured my thoughts, as it were. Okay, so where are we now? Where we are now is that we have a third ban. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sharif. This is the third time that we're having an Okada ban. If I got the numbers wrong, my apologies. But it's not the first, okay? And so we have a ban because of the circumstance I don't need to review here. So we have a ban that should have come even long before Sanwo-Olu himself became governor. But here we are. That's what we have. Now, what situation do we have on ground? This ban comes into effect on the 1st of June. And the gentleman, the governor, is going to have to contend with a number of issues. The first is, do we now have, given the numbers and the sensitivity, do we have the numbers to enforce this ban in reality? Do we have those numbers of security men? How well equipped are they? I heard that the Lagos State government had bought some equipment, whatever it was, tear gas, whatever it is, to enforce the ban and so on and so forth. But what about the personnel? What about the will of the personnel? You know, the will of the personnel, because some of these Okadas themselves are owned by policemen, military men, you know, as an income substitute. Now, I'm talking about the situation on the ground. I'm not making any excuses for anything, but just for us to look at this. The third is cast from this headline, from the headline, where the community, because whether you like it or not, a large part of these Okada riders are from the north. And if, as at the time, you are advising, or would I call begging, whatever it is, the government or the governor, and you add the issue of massive votes, then that is a very dangerous trend. And the only person who can respond to that is the governor himself. The governor would have to ask himself, do I want votes, or do I want my name in history? Do I want things to be done? Because part of the argument here really is that, okay, part of our people will be displaced. Oh, so many other people will be displaced. But because of votes, you can leave things as they are. He might also have problems from his principal, who is making a bid for the presidency. In which case, this community could jolly well take their whatever it is all the way to the top, and it could be used as a bargaining chip with his principal to say to him, if you want to support us in this side of town, this is what we think should be done. Now, these are the major issues that contend. The other issue, of course, is the will of the governor himself. But a source in government told me, I don't know if he's right, but told me that in addressing members of his government, he had said that he doesn't care about the political. Not that he doesn't care about the political, but that he was going to put this issue first before any political consideration. That will be seen from the 1st of June. This is a litmus test for the governor, who in the past, some of us believed, hadn't asserted himself, you know, in terms of governance. This June 1 is going to be a litmus test. And I hope he passes it for the sake of the state and for his own sake. The other issue you are now going to have to contend with, what are you going to do with the hordes of Okada riders who would lose, you know, their income, so to speak? What are you going to provide for them? Or what alternatives? How are you going to handle that horde, that army that we've been shouting, had been building up till this day? What are the security implications? What are we going to do with them? The government, I would advise, have to quickly call in stakeholders in the state and find a way to tackle some of the issues that will come from this, more so the security issues. I'm going to plead with people, all kinds of voice notes and WhatsApp messages and so are flying around and tweets and so on and so forth. I'm going to plead with everybody to stay calm and let's see how this pans out. But for now, I think the ban is welcome. Whether it's going to be tweaked, whether it's going to be... But when you say a total ban, I wonder, a ban is a ban. So I wonder what the emphasis on total is, because it's not a total ban of the state as a whole, but only six local governments. Am I right?
Yes, you're right, sir.
Six local governments.
The only difference is that before now, there was a partial ban.
What was the partial ban?
So they were only restricted.
There was no ban.
No, before now, there was an official ban.
Oh, an official ban, which wasn't...
Enforced.
Enforced, yes.
Yes, so there was a ban. It was partial at the time. They were not supposed to ply highways and the rest of them. But now, it's a total ban.
Across those...
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering, what is the difference between having six local governments and a total ban across the state like it's done in other states?
I was going to ask you that.
Like, yeah, but
I'm the one that will ask the question.
I preempted you now, so I've asked you.
Yeah.
I do.
Let's reverse the role. Like, quite a number of people are asking, like, will it really have any effect when you pick six LGAs and saying that you're banning totally? They will simply just move to the other LGAs that they aren't banned.
And cause mayhem there. I mean, yes. Where is the borderline between the LGAs anyway?
Yeah.
Where is the borderline between the LGAs? Like one of your callers said, back in the day, Lagos wasn't as populated as this, but you had to walk to the bus stop to pick up,
I still remember trekking long distances, like we used to trek.
Oh, yes. Even from my house in Wakeman Street, you had to walk to Alagomeji.
I mean, we used to
pick up a bus. Even in the UK, the distance between my house to the train station is a better part of 20 to 25 minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I mean, you just walk it. It's normal. You're not going to call a taxi, you understand? And there's no Okada, of course. So you walk to the station. If you have a bike, cycle down. Maybe if you have a car and you're elderly, you might want to take a car. But generally, it's expected that you add it to your journey time. Maybe we have to develop a culture. I also sympathize, though, let me quickly add, with the Okada riders themselves, because not all of them are the suspicious-looking ones that we are so afraid of. But then again, you can't fry an egg without breaking it in the first instance. And what I think we also do now is the time for us also to regulate the delivery business, which is very lucrative.
Yes, it is.
Very, very lucrative. Sometimes
yes, it is.
A delivery could earn a bike rider about 5,000 naira.
Do you think this ban would be enforced?
I don't think so. If I'm going to be honest and truthful to you, from the history of what I've seen, I don't think so. I think that it was because you see, as we speak, even to be fair to the governor, the kind of pressure that will be put on him by the powers that be. And I also am worried if he has the manpower to effect this. I hate saying this, that we told them so. I don't like it. It's highly unprofessional. But I have to say that if this thing had been done years back when some of us started the campaign, we wouldn't be where we are now. The genie is out of the bottle. Yes. The genie is out of the bottle. To put it back, it's going to be a Herculean task. The numbers are phenomenal. You don't want to see some videos that I saw yesterday. They are phenomenal. But we can't continue to live like this. That's the unfortunate situation, plus the security implication that has crept into it. But I don't think this ban will be. I'd love it to be. But, if I keep thinking it over in my mind, I don't think that
When the governor was speaking about the ban and its effect on people and what the government has done, he mentioned last mile buses. He mentioned the new rail line coming on board. And I'm wondering, is that not premature? Because first, the last mile buses aren't everywhere and they aren't enough. After the first time they were released, I don't think there was there was another release from the first batch that, you know, were released. I'm not exactly sure. Please correct me if you're listening. I'm not exactly sure that they released another one. You would see one last mile bus and maybe not another one in another, maybe.
Well, I mean, I don't know about last mile, but definitely the rail. The route of the rail is highly limited.
Yeah.
You know, as against what we are talking about. Then it also has to do with our habits. You know, where we've gotten used to the fact that from the front of your house, you can hop on a bike and get to where you're going. And then, the traffic. Okay. The traffic, part of the excuse why a lot of people do go on bikes is because the traffic is horrendous. A 15-minute journey could take you close to 3 hours, and so on and so forth. So that's why I don't think that ban will be effective from the 1st of June. Maybe if the governor is determined, or let me say, if the government is determined and can ward off the political pressure. That's why I chose this one, where it says that we promise you massive votes. If they can ward off the political pressure. You see, I think in governance, if I had the opportunity to be governor, the one thing I'd want to preserve for history is my name. I couldn't. That's why I keep saying that I couldn't be bothered whether you vote for me or not. But for people to say, yeah, long after I've gone, that during so and so's time, this is or else you won't get anything done. If you react to things like this, you won't get anything done. It's blackmail. The irony is that the same people who promise you these things are the same people at election time who will be telling you, oh, look at the way the town is, look at the way the city is, we are so inconvenienced, and so on and so forth. So therefore, you must have a purpose. And in cases where, I think in governance, where you have a godfather, as soon as you get your mandate for the godfather, run to the people to secure your mandate by doing what is right.
Indeed. Let's move on to another story. I mean, we can't exhaust this topic today because it's still developing. I mean, it happened yesterday. Quite some reactions this morning on the show, though. We have some people that are against the ban. Quite a majority are for the ban.
I mean, you would always have those for and against.
Yeah.
Okay. But for some of us who have seen this city run in a proper manner, we can't continue to live like we're living in the jungle. I'm sorry, we can't. If we do have to have bikes, the best compromise for me would be a well-regulated keke service.
We had regulated bike service,
and they were thrown out for these chaos that we have. Maybe it's time to talk to those people to come back and see.
After
what?
Who is going to give them money? The kind of money that they put.
And I might be losing. I'm so sorry. I might be losing that.
These people lost.
The legitimate license driver holder. I will tell that to you. She doesn't even know she just went away.
Let's move on to another story. Page 12 of the Vanguard newspaper. Delta governor. As royal fathers, we will not endorse any aspirants, Urobo monarchs.
Yes, these are royal fathers after my that I respect so much. And I wish this could be the position of all royal fathers, of all our royal, especially in this side of town. It's unfortunate what some of our royal fathers have turned these very regal positions that we do respect, what they have turned it to. It is sad for you to see royal fathers take a position on, one even escorted an aspirant all the way to Abuja to submit his forms. I mean, well, I don't understand this. You know, and that's why I'm highlighting this story, that we plead with our royal fathers. Every politician under your domain is your son. At the end of the day, whether he is in A party or B party, or is the party that helped you to the throne or whatever, you must be seen to be neutral.
That's right.
With due respect, I'm sorry to say some of our royal fathers have messed up that position, to put it bluntly. I don't know how else I could put it, you know. And there would be a need for a rethink of that. Apart from politics, you can see, I don't need to go far, how some of them have gotten embroiled in things they could jolly well have avoided by not even going near the stool at all. If you're not interested in what goes on there, why be an aspirant and why take up the position? So I plead with our royal fathers, you are father of all. All your sons are the same. None is good, none is bad. When it comes to politics, you need to take a neutral stand, you need to be seen to be taking a neutral stand. And we hope that what we're seeing, there will be some change. Because these are the things that stifle our development, our political development. Where, to put it in how Yorubas would say, you want everybody to sleep in the same direction. It's not even good for ventilation anyway.
Mm-mm. It's not at all. Yeah. Let's leave the Vanguard. Let's go to the Nation newspaper, page 6 of the Nation. I've got the story here that says, NANS begs presidential aspirants to raise money for ASUU.
Sheriff, correct me if I'm wrong. The leading aspirants in this presidential game, is there anyone that has mentioned something concerning the ASUU strike?
I'm not sure.
That you can think of?
I'm not sure.
It is sad because the what we have in the political landscape now, they're not completely issue based. A lot of them are focused on personalities, so-called experience, and so-called wherewithal to do the job. I would have thought that with an ASUU crisis, with an ASUU crisis, and with the larger number of voters being young people. These aspirants would have addressed the ASUU issue head on, rather than say it being like a personal.
Oh yes, I remember. I'm so sorry, Peter Obi.
I thought that he might. He addressed
it.
Sure.
He addressed it right here inside the studio.
Inside the studio.
Yes.
Maybe by the time we have candidates, the it will become more intellectually interesting. What we have here are brickbats about betrayal and intelligence and my background. I've been 7 years of this and that of that. We would like some aspirants, when they do become candidates, maybe, to focus on some of these issues that hurt a lot of us. The universities have been closed for how long? About a year now?
No. It was in February 14.
February. Mm-hmm. It looks like a year. No. Before February, they were closed.
No.
Are you sure? Are you right?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
February 14.
Okay. I take that correction. I apologize for
it. I mean, they've always been closed.
Because it's always been closed, open,
closed.
Yeah, exactly.
But well, this current one is from February.
I'm not talking of what you would call a current one. What I'm saying is that there's been that intermittent break for quite a while.
Since 1970.
No, I know that. And is it, whether you like it or not, that is the bedrock of our development. Because what we are doing is we're just pushing. Now, I think it was the UK that wants, what do they want now? Was it, they wanted, was it IT graduates? I can't remember what graduates they want.
Yeah.
But exempted Nigeria.
Exempted Nigeria.
Nigeria is a disgrace.
Something like high intellect.
High intellect, yes. And they threw Nigeria out of the equation. Because at this stage, you can't produce what I would call thoroughbred, pure graduates, really. So it's sad. What makes it more sad is the impression that we have that a lot of the children of the powers that be are not in these universities. So are we saying that we have bound the students in Nigerian universities to the Philistines? So I'd like you know, the aspirants, even before they become candidates, if all you will do is to contribute to this discourse, to come, let somebody come with a concrete plan and say, look, if I do make it as first as a candidate and become the president, this is exactly how I'll be tackling the ASUU crisis. It is sad. It's in the back burner. But the students are warming up. They are warming up. And remember the threat that they said that there will be no primaries. I don't think that threat should be taken lightly. We need to do something about this before we have an explosion on our hands. There was a clash. There was a clash, I think, in Benin.
In Osun and Benin.
Benin, yes. And it's coming bit by bit. Let's see if we can avoid it.
Indeed. We should do everything to avoid it. Page 3 of the Punch newspaper. It's a panorama page. Let's see if we can turn inside. Yes. So we have this spread here on page 4 and 5. 5-year-old pupil drowns during swimming lesson in Lagos.
Here we go again. Another case of neglect. Schools. Okay, the school is a 5-year-old pupil of the Redeemers Nursery Primary School in Ogba, and his name is Chidera Eze. He got drowned during a swimming lesson. The school took them to swim at Ivory Health Club in Ikeja. The part of the story that intrigued me was that, let me read this. This is the father of the child, and he says, when we got there, we discovered that it was the adult swimming pool. Okay, this is a 5-year-old. That was the adult swimming pool section that they took the pupils to. I was alarmed, and while the police were investigating, we realized the CCTV was installed at the club. So we demanded to check the CCTV, and it revealed everything. Anthony claimed that the CCTV footage, revealed that his son was in the pool for over 30 minutes before he died. Adding that his son's corpse was discovered by another person who came to swim in the pool. He said, in the footage, we saw that the school brought more than 15 children, took them to the adult side of the swimming pool, and made them sit at the tip with their legs in the water and without wearing any kit.
What?
5-year-olds, they were not wearing any kit. We saw only one caregiver in the video, and she was just going in and coming out, leaving the children unmanned. My son was at the tail end of the line when he slipped into the pool the first time, but he was able to bring himself out of the pool. But the second time he slipped into the water, he could not come out. This is a 5-year-old. All this happened, and none of the teachers, caregivers, and lifeguards took notice of what was happening. My son was under the water for over 30 minutes. This is a 5-year-old. And we were all shouting as we watched the video. Another pupil also fell into the water, but her colleagues raised the alarm and they pulled her out while this was going on. Nobody noticed. My son was inside the water. We had to highlight this story again. The authorities will take care of who should be held responsible for this. But we need to treat these things with the care that they deserve. And we need to get the appropriate people and do the appropriate things. I don't know why you would have a 5-year-old in a pool unattended to. A 5-year-old in a pool unattended to must be attended to every minute.
Why would you even take children?
Yes,
to an adult pool
without kids. And then the owners of the pool should have had a policy, no kids or whatever it is. There we go.
That's just my negligence.
Condolences go to the parents of the boy. When you also have your children in school and they are going anywhere, please make sure that, you know, there's full cover for their safety.
Yeah, indeed. We must go now on that note. We have to go. Today, what's coming up at 9?
There's a gentleman who wants to run for governor for Lagos.
Okay.
Oluo. It's coming at 9 o'clock. So
today?
To meet him, yeah.
Oh, all right. That's awesome.
It's from the Ambo camp.
Ambo Day camp.
Okay. They call it Ambo camp.
Thank you for coming. I'm Sheriff Quadri.
I'm Jimmy Disu. Good morning.
The news is next. Good morning to you.
they don't disconnect your line sick of say you not link your national identification number to your MTN number.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.